November 22, 1963 ended very differently than it began for America. President John F. Kennedy was dead. Lyndon Johnson was now president. And the Texas native returned to Washington that night with challenges few before him had faced. He'd have to quickly ramp up his own administration and bring together congressional, labor, and civil rights leaders to forge a way forward for the nation. But first, he'd need to console a grieving country and remind the world that the U.S. remained strong. On November 27, 1963, 5 days after President Kennedy's death, President Johnson addressed a joint session of Congress.
Mr. Speaker, Mr. President, members of the House, members of the Senate, my fellow Americans, all I have, I would have given gladly not to be standing here today. The greatest leader of our time has been struck down by the foulest deed of our time. Today, John Fitzgerald Kennedy lives on in the immortal words and works that he left behind. He lives on in the mind and memories of mankind. He lives on in the hearts of his countrymen. No words are sad enough to express our sense of loss. No words are strong enough to express our determination to continue the forward thrust of America that he began.
Coming up, the first calls of Lyndon Johnson's White House as he prepares to lay his predecessor to rest and chart the country's path towards healing.
People often think C-SPAN is funded by the federal government. In fact, we're a nonprofit organization that receives no government funding. As news consumption changes, you can help ensure the future of C-SPAN's unfiltered coverage of national government and politics. We hope you will consider making a tax-deductible contribution that will support our daily editorial operations. To learn more, visit cspan.org/donate.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and 2 tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Ow. Those uncomfortable things we do for beauty.
Oof. Ouch.
And when it comes to whiter teeth, same story. Until now. Enjoy Wince-Free Whitening with new Sensodyne Clinical White. You'll get clinically proven whitening technology in an enamel-safe formula for 2 shades whiter teeth and 24/7 sensitivity protection. Sensodyne Clinical White. A whiter smile without the wince.
On the night of November 22, 1963, just hours after John Kennedy's murder, President Lyndon Johnson spent more than 3 hours in his vice presidential office making and taking calls. One of his first was with Supreme Court Justice Arthur Goldberg.
You've been such a wonderful friend, and you and that great wife of yours have been such a comfort and strength to me in this administration. I just didn't want to leave my desk tonight without telling you that you're going to have to do some heavy thinking for me. And Dorothy and I came out to see you at the airport. There were so many people around. I didn't. There's no one that I would have rather seen in the world than you. And all we can say is we'll pray and hope and give confidence. Well, don't be so damn modest and shy. I want you to come in and out now. I don't know what's proper and ethical, but get at the airport, you let me know it, because I need all the strength that you give me.
Meanwhile, we wanted to wish you well and also express our grief. Look, if there's anything that I can suggest, I'm interested.
I want you to be thinking about what I ought to do.
starts falling to pieces, and some of the extremes go to getting proceeding on the wrong assumption that we could deteriorate pretty quickly.
It won't. I have no doubt about that.
I want you to think, just think careful, and think, and then talk to me tomorrow, next day.
I will, anytime.
I want to give some thought to whether we ought to have a joint session coming then after.
I think you ought.
After, what would we say to them? Think about it. And I want you to think about who I talk to on the deliver side, and how I ought to do it without, with dignity and reserve, and without being down on my knees, but at the same time, a man who will respect my confidence. And
I just,
there's nobody in town that I believe in more than you, and I've just got to have your help.
Well, it's there for the asking, and we wish you every good fortune in the world. You'll do well. We have complete confidence.
Well,
everything's here. She loves her money.
I'm totally inadequate to it, but I'll do my best.
No, not at all. And I'm at your service.
Thank you.
And here she is.
Mr. President.
Hi, beloved. How are you?
Does God give you strength?
Well, I get some from both you and that great husband of yours, and nobody gives me more comfort or more strength, and that's why I want to talk to you.
Well, we were there, and we bear witness with you and Mrs. Johnson. Now, just take care of your health, because we can't endure anything else.
Thank you.
Yeah, just take care and get some rest and keep inner calm. Arthur just wants to say another word. I won't take a minute of your time.
Thank you. I want you to make a good speech for me sometime for a long time.
Please, you take care of yourself.
All right.
Here's Arthur.
Okay.
President?
Yeah.
I suppose you have a lot of ceremonies and things you have to take care of tomorrow. But late tomorrow afternoon, I'll call you.
Will you do that?
Have a good night,
Charles.
Say hello to Lady.
Thank you. I should do some thinking on
this
joint session.
I have a suggestion.
This labor thing and the general feeling of trying to bring them together.
Yeah.
I had a meeting with leaders tonight, and
strange
to say, the Republicans would be really better than the Democrats.
Oh, well,
Redfield wouldn't say a word.
Searching is fine.
Yes, he was.
He flew back in the helicopter from the airport. He was fine.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, I'll call you.
He also talked to Democratic National Committee Treasurer Richard McGuire.
Rick?
Yes, sir.
I know what a great personal tragedy this is to you, but it is to me too, and you have been so wonderful to the president that I want you to know that I've got to rely on you more than he did.
Mr. President, you tell me what you want, sir.
Well, I want the same kind of relationship tomorrow as we had yesterday.
Sure,
and, I've been on your team ever since I got here, and I want you to be candid and frank and come in and tell me what we need to do and how we need to do it. And I know how suffering you must be tonight, but so am I. And we're the same family, and the one thing I know he'd want us to do is carry on and be effective, and that's what we're going to do. And you be giving some thought to what needs to be done, and when we get these things behind us the next day or two, then we'll get together.
Whenever you're ready, sir.
Thank you, Nick.
Good night.
Later, he called AFL-CIO President George Meany.
George.
President?
George, you know how tragic this whole thing is, and I just called you to tell you that you have been of inestimable help to this administration and to your country, and I need you as we've never needed you before.
Well, I'm still in a state of shock. I can tell you, we'll go down the line, and you'll have got an awful job. But I'm sure you can do it.
Well,
job,
I know I'm totally inadequate to it, but maybe with friends like you, and if you'll be candid and frank with me, and the phone's always, I'm just as close
training and everything else, the president, you can do it and have me and any one of our gang right back in one of the towns.
Well, I know that, and I have great respect for your patriotism, and I want your counsel, and I want your friendship, and I've had it, but I want it more than ever now.
Well, you have it.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
He also called three prominent Democrats, Minnesota Governor Karl Rahlvaag, Wisconsin Governor John Reynolds Jr., and Wisconsin Democratic Party Chair Patrick Lucey.
Mr. President, stop and say hi, Patrick. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, all right, I'm mighty glad to hear your voice. Well, I just want you to know that we want to...
What is I hear about you? They are going off the ship.
Well, I stepped out of the chairmanship last June. Got a very good replacement.
That afternoon, the president called Marie Tippit, the widow of Dallas police officer J.D. Tippit, who was also shot to death by Lee Harvey Oswald just hours after he shot the president.
Yes, Kenny. This is Lyndon Johnson in Washington. I know that words are not very useful at a time when your grief is so great, but Ms. Johnson, I want you to know that you and your children, Alan and Brenda Kay and Curtis Ray, are not only in our thoughts, but in our prayers. I hope that in the years to come, that your husband's bravery and his dedication to his country and his president will be a great inspiration to law enforcement officers everywhere in the world. I just want to say God bless you, and I know you're a brave and a great lady. Can I get your address there? I want to drop you a little note.
23, I
care of. G-L-E-N-N?
G-L-E-N-C-A-I-R.
C-A-I-R. All right. Dallas.
And would you express my...
President Johnson also talked to Michigan Governor George Romney.
Governor, this has been nice of you, and I would expect it.
Thank you, Governor.
there and I'll be in touch with you.
The next day, he talked with Senate Minority Leader Everett Dirksen about planning a speech before a joint session of Congress.
The elevator was present. I know he had lunch with me. We were talking. I'm rather of the opinion that it might be a good thing the day after the general is selling the one in Boston's Tuesday, probably Wednesday, to have a joint session and make a brief statement. And we've been talking over. I thought I ought to, and the boys over on staff ought to, and I want to get your thoughts on it.
I believe it'd be really nice to have
Well, I think every chance you get to say what you said like you did this morning, then let them know that you're part of this partnership and your country comes first. It'll be good, too. And the president spent a couple of hours with me, and we reviewed a good many things, including staffs and other things. And I won't make it definite. I'll have to see when the funeral is, but I'll let you know one first as soon as we decide. And if you think that's indicated, why, we'll just tentatively shoot it, drop it Wednesday. Thank you, Everett.
Just what happened in Dallas was still being sorted out. But the next day, violence struck again, when Lee Harvey Oswald himself was shot at point-blank range by nightclub owner Jack Ruby. Two top Johnson confidants, Bill Moyers, then a special assistant to the president, and Eugene Rostow, dean of the Yale Law School, talked about all of it.
Talk to you.
Thank you, boy. If I can help in any way, I will. I'm calling with a suggestion. I've just talked to Nick Katzenbach.
Yes.
And the poor fella, he has so much of a burden on him.
Yes.
I talked to him about three times today, and he just sounded so groggy. I thought I'd pass this thought along to you. And, of course, I realize how tough it must be now for the president. In this situation, with this bastard killed, my suggestion is that a presidential commission be appointed of very distinguished citizens in the very near future, bipartisan and above politics, no Supreme Court justices, but people like Tom Dewey and... Bill Story from Texas.
Right.
So on.
Right.
A commission of seven or nine people. Maybe Nixon, I don't know.
Right.
To look into the whole affair of the murder of the president.
Mm-hmm.
Because world opinion and American opinion is just now so shaken by the behavior of the Dallas police that they're not believing anything.
That's, I can understand that.
Now, I've got a party here. I've been pursuing the policy, you know, that people need to come together at this time.
And you know what you could do that would be very helpful, and this is a good suggestion, and I'll pass it on just a minute. The president's calling.
Hello? Yes, sir? Yes, sir?
Excuse me, go ahead.
Sure, Bill. What can I do that will help?
Well, I was just thinking, coming in a few minutes ago after hearing the news of Oswald's shooting, that this is symptomatic of what has been happening in this country in the last few years and the breakdown of respect for law and order, you know, that the signs impeach the Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If I could have a memorandum to give to the president along these lines, if one of his great tasks is to help, you know, continue the institutions that seem to be, at least, if not in doubt right now, at least weakened by some kind of sickness that has taken hold of some parts of our population. I'd like him to have that, to consider in some private talks he's having with newsmen and with perhaps for his joint session next Wednesday night. He needs to make some point, you know, that America is known as a land of public order, a land of civility, a land of in which the public safety is guaranteed, and it's a very serious question right now in the mind of the world about these institutions that undergird us so tremendously. And
his Gettysburg speech last spring was just terrific.
Yes.
Couldn't have been better.
Yes.
I'll be glad to send any member
that
right. Speaks helpful right away.
All right. Now, your suggestion is that he appoint a special commission of distinguished Americans, primarily in the field of law, I presume, to look into the whole question of the assassination.
That's right.
All right.
Report on it.
All right, I'll get that to him. Also, I wish you would keep me informed about how Nick is doing. We don't want to put any greater strain on him than is necessary.
He's a great man. Utmost faith in him. But
yes.
He's fighting back.
All right.
Terrific strain.
Thanks for calling. I'll follow through.
Right.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Meanwhile, with the Johnson administration barely off the ground, the new president turned to top Kennedy White House aide Larry O'Brien to ask for help.
Mr. President.
Needless to tell you, I'm most anxious for you to continue just like you have been, because I need you a lot more than he did.
Mr. President, Ken is here with me. Do you have any media problem?
No, I just wanted you to know that how strongly I felt about you and Ken and all the rest of the staff, and I had talked to some of them individually, but I hadn't had a chance to run into you, and I think you know the confidence I have and the admiration I have for you.
I know that, Mr. President.
I don't expect you to love me as much as you did him, but I expect you will after we've been around a while.
Right, Mr. President.
I wanted to tell you I felt it. I want to congratulate you, too, on that month vote up there. I think it would be terrible thing to Kennedy's memory to have this wheat sale thing repudiated, and I hope that they got the votes in the Senate and they don't take it up until they do have them to beat it. Do you know anything about it?
No, I'll check that, though.
The committee voted it yesterday.
I know it.
But apparently the leadership agreed to bring it back and let the Senate vote on it.
There was an agreement that it would be reported out on the 25th, and that they would bring it to the floor of the Senate.
They voted 87 today.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Now, what's important is that we check those votes pretty carefully. Somebody, I don't want to be in a position of personally doing it or having some underling on my staff do it. I'd rather somebody in your office check.
Right.
I did tell Mansfield that I thought it would be terrible to Kennedy's memory and a hell of a way to launch a new administration.
Well, I agree.
So I want somebody to give it a little attention and let me know tonight or in the morning if there's anything that I need to know about it if it's not well taken care of.
Very good.
And then you let me know any suggestions you have, because we're in this thing up to our ears.
All right, Mr. President.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
He also talked to FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover to let him know about the calls for an investigation into President Kennedy's death.
Yes?
Mr. Hoover on 2383. Yes. Mr. Hoover, 2383.
383,
let me find
it. That's the fourth.
Two things. Apparently some lawyer in justice is lobbying with the Post, because that's where the suggestion came from for this presidential commission, which we think would be very bad.
And
put it right in the White House, and we can't be checking up on every shooting scrape in the country. But they've gone to the Post now to get them an editorial, and the Post is calling up saying they're going to run an editorial if we don't do things. Now, we're going to do two things, and I want you to know about it. One, we believe that the way to handle this is, as we said yesterday, your suggestion that you put every facility at your command and make a full report to the Attorney General, and then they make it available to the country in whatever form may seem desirable,
right,
as well as present. Second, the state, it's a state matter too, and the state attorney general is young and able and prudent and very cooperative with you.
Yes.
He's going to run a court of inquiry, which is provided for by state law, and he's going to have associated with him the most outstanding jurist in the country. But he's a good conservative fella.
Yes.
and we don't start invading local jurisdictions that way, and he understands what you're doing, and he's for it. And I want you to understand what he was doing, and he's very strong for it. He's going to announce it today. Now, if you get too many cooks messing with the broth, it'd mess it up. And and I think that these two are trained organizations.
Yes.
And the Attorney General of the state holds courts of inquiries every time a law is violated. And the Justice and the FBI makes these investigations. So I want you to know that, and you'll tell your pressmen that that's what's happening, and they can expect Wagner Carr, the Attorney General of Texas, to make an announcement this morning.
Yes.
Of a state inquiry, and that you can offer him your full cooperation, and vice versa, he'll do it with you.
Right. We'll both work together.
And any influence you got with the Post, have them point out to them that you don't want too many things, and that just picking out a Tom Jewell lawyer from New York and sending him down on new facts, this commission thing, Mr. Herbert Hoover tried that, and sometimes a commission that's not trained hurts more than helps.
It's a regular circus then.
That's right.
Because it'll be covered by TV and everything.
Just like an investigating committee.
Exactly. I don't have much influence with the Post because I frankly don't read it.
I know that.
I do it like the daily work.
You told me that once before.
But
I just want your people to know the facts, yes. And your people can say that, and that kind of negates it, you see.
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll take care of that.
Thank
you, Mr. President.
On November 26th, he spoke with Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Interest in your cooperation and your communication, and a good many people told me that they heard about your statement, I guess, on TV, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
I've been locked up in this office and haven't seen it, but I won't tell you how grateful I am and how worthy I'm going to try to be of all your hopes.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so happy to hear that, and I knew that you had just that great spirit, and you know you have our support and backing.
Well,
because we know what a difficult period this is.
It's just an impossible period. We got a budget coming up that we got nothing to do with. It's practically already made, and we got a civil rights bill that hadn't even passed the House, and it's November, and Hubert Humphrey told me yesterday everybody wanted to go home. We got a tax bill that they haven't touched, and we just got to not let up on any of them and keep going, and I guess they'll say that I'm repudiated, but I'm going to ask the Congress Wednesday to just stay there till they pass them all. They won't do it, but we'll just keep them there next year till they do, and we just won't give up an inch.
Uh-huh. Well, this is mighty fine. I think it's so imperative. I think one of the great tributes that we can pay in memory of President Kennedy is to try to enact some of the great progressive policies that he sought to initiate.
Well, I'm going to support them all, and you can count on that, and I'm going to do my best to get other men to do likewise, and I'll have to have y'all's help. I never needed more than I do now.
Well, you know you have it, and just feel free to call on us for anything.
Thank you so much, Martin.
All right.
Call me when you...
to the family.
I sure will. Call me when you're down here next time.
I certainly will.
But let's get together, and any suggestions you got, bring them in.
Fine. I certainly will do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next day, President Johnson went before Congress and the nation.
An assassin's bullet has thrust upon me the awesome burden of the presidency. I am here today to say I need your help. I cannot bear this burden alone. I need the help of all Americans in all America. This nation has experienced a profound shock. And in this critical moment, it is our duty, yours and mine, as the government of the United States, to do away with uncertainty and doubt and delay, and to show that we are capable of decisive action. That from the brutal loss of our leader, we will derive not weakness, but strength, that we can and will act, and act now. From this chamber of representative government, let all the world know and none misunderstand that I rededicate this government to the unswerving support of the United Nations. To the honorable and determined execution of our commitments to our allies. To the maintenance of military strength second to none. To the defense of the strength and the stability of the dollar. To the expansion of our foreign trade. To the reinforcement of our programs of mutual assistance and cooperation in Asia and Africa. And to our alliance for progress in this hemisphere. On the 20th day of January, in 1961, John F. Kennedy told his countrymen that our national work would not be finished in the first 1,000 days, nor in the life of this administration, nor even perhaps in our lifetime on this planet. But he said, let us begin. Today, in this moment of new resolve, I would say to all my fellow Americans, let us continue. As one who has long served in both houses of the Congress, I firmly believe in the independence and the integrity of the legislative branch. And I promise you that I shall always respect this. It is deep in the marrow of my bones. With equal firmness, I believe in the capacity and I believe in the ability of the Congress, despite the divisions of opinions which characterize our nation, to act wisely, to act vigorously, to act speedily, when the need arises. The need is here. The need is now. I ask your help. We meet in grief, but let us also meet in renewed dedication and renewed vigor. Let us meet in action, in tolerance, and in mutual understanding. John Kennedy's death commands what his life conveyed, that America must move forward. the time has come for Americans of all races and creeds and political beliefs to understand and to respect one another. So let us put an end to the teaching and the preaching of hate and evil and violence. Let us turn away from the fanatics of the far left and the far right, from the apostles of bitterness and bigotry, from those defiant of law, and those who pour venom into our nation's bloodstream. Profoundly hope that the tragedy and the torment of these terrible days will bind us together in new fellowship, making us one people in our hour of sorrow. So let us here highly resolve that John Fitzgerald Kennedy did not live or die in vain. And on this Thanksgiving Eve, as we gather together to ask the Lord's blessing and give Him our thanks, let us unite in those familiar and cherished words, America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
In the early days of his administration, President Johnson worked with Congress to pass a federal budget and a tax reform bill. 7 months later, Congress and the White House worked together to pass the landmark Civil Rights Act. Lyndon Johnson ran and won the 1964 election in one of the biggest landslides in history. He served until January 1969. President Kennedy's wife, Jackie, died in 1994. The pink suit she wore while traveling with her husband when he was killed belongs to the National Archives. You can hear all seasons of presidential recordings, including more taped phone calls between Lyndon Johnson, his family, friends, and members of his administration. If you like this program, you can find all seasons of presidential recordings at cspan.org/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.